look, you know,
just so obvious, you know, it was the end when the sovereignty issue and the land claim issue sort of comes up, that he sees much further than nearly all of you.
And there were several people I met like that, and one person in particular, who said, I gave up, I can see all these things, I understand them, but why, you know? Why? I can't do anything about them. All I can do is try to live my life and pass on things I know. You know, and he was so frustrated at the time when I was talking to him. But I thought that particular character trait I want to pull out of there, because so much of the other character things, you know, were obvious and blatant and there for everybody. I won't name any names, but some of these guys were pretty prominent, and I didn't want to draw on them or use them in any way. I wanted them to be there in the novel.
And I think that's one of the strengths of Slash, that he remains outside of that. So he is also a critical observer of what's happening, and it's nobody can now turn around and say, okay, it's a history of AIM from the AIM perspective. It's not.
No, and it never was intended to be. So the research period, I guess, took 2 years, I would say, from 1980 to 1982. And we, in 1982, Scott started writing in terms of the finale, you know, in terms of getting
was
all
that after you finished your creative writing?
Oh, yeah, I'd been out of the program. I'd been out of the program for 2 years. I graduated from UVic in 1978, and so 1980 was when I started the research for the novel. And 2 years down the road, I completed the research, and I felt ready to write. I felt ready to begin writing. By then, I had some essence of how what we wanted to talk about, that during that period, what the focus was, and I also had some essence of the layers that I wanted to uncover, that I wanted to speak about. Not just the personal development in terms of his transformation through that circle, but the political movement through that, and also the group and community thinking and chains of thinking through that whole time. And I had a pretty good idea of how it should move and how it should work. So I started writing in 82, and it again was, I guess, about a year and a half of writing before I completed a first draft. It was in 84 sometime.
Did you write full-time, anytime?
I wrote full-time for about 6 months to complete the draft. I did what was called a skeleton of the novel. I did about 20 pages, I guess, and about maybe 5 pages each or something like that of each chapter. Just basically saying this is what's going to happen in that chapter and so on. So I did a skeleton of that, and then I vaguely sketched in characters and people and so on, but not in any descriptive way or intense way or whatever. And then I took each of those chapters, and I worked at writing them. And they weren't written successively or progressively, like chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. I would work, the way that my mind works is, what I can see is if there's something in chapter one that's going to relate to chapter two or chapter three, I would have to see it as a thread all the way through. So I developed those pieces in that thread all the way through. So it's a different way of developing a novel, I understand, that people don't usually develop novel
writers. That makes it into that fabric.
And so that there's a fabric of the writing there, and there's threads that go that are, you know, that are there all the way through, and they're sort of weaved together rather than one writing in a linear fashion.
That also is something that in a lot of women's literature you have. Weaving, and it's used in feminist literary criticism to say we weave. There's not this linear development that way, but there are so many strands of this kind of holistic thinking. The way women think, as it has been analyzed, is so much more complex.
And it was true. It's keeping hold of those threads right from the beginning all the way through and bringing them back around again. And the threads involve different aspects. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, there's about four or five layers to the novel that I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it's keeping those layers, you know, all the way through and through those threads and making sure that they were weaved together with the other ones, you know, that they fit together, they work together, and that there wasn't any discomfort, you know, in that. And there were places where the fabric was weak, of course, because, you know, I, as a first novel writer, couldn't see it. Because it happens you when you're writing, and you're writing and you're so involved in the character, and so the character becomes so real, and the people, the scenario, the scene, everything else becomes so real, it's hard to be self-critical about it. I think it's that way with any writer, unless you're really disciplined, and I'm not, you know. But I did try, in a sense, to do that. We cut out quite a bit of the novel in the second draft. I sat down and pulled out a lot of things that were not necessary to the threads in the novel, but that I really wanted in there. But we did do some of that. Some of it got left in there, you know. And I was saying, well, I'm going to make a decision here. You know, it's going to stay. And I was sorry later, of course, after going back and reading it. I said, oh shit, I should have listened. But anyway, that it was a good exercise for me, and it was a tremendous, tremendous painful exercise. I remember one point when I was writing the worst part of Slash's life, really actually living myself in that space, that headspace. And it was a difficult time I went through at that time, because I was really emotional, I was really sensitive, I was really angry, and I was really afraid, fearful, I guess, afraid. And at that point, I didn't know if I was going to make it, to finish the novel, to write it, to actually put it down on paper and pull it together, you know, to pull him together. No, I didn't know I was going to be able to do it. And it had an effect on me, it had a profound effect on me that I, at some point, would like to document for other writers. Because I remember writing, and the guy I was living with at that time was a pretty understanding person. But I remembered we had planned to go, he wanted to take me away out of town to go and do some R&R. And we were going to go to Vancouver. There was this play, whatever happened in Vancouver. And he thought it would be a good idea. And I guess, knowing me, he knew I was getting into this state of mind that was really wretched. Anyway, he wanted to pull me out of this writing thing and take me to this thing, and I had agreed because I was feeling myself, and I was really getting stressed out. And we were to leave, he, you know, said, well, we'll leave Thursday evening, and if we leave Thursday evening, we can drive part ways there, and we leave about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we can have dinner on the road, and we can be part ways there, and we can, you know, get a room and so on. Mm-hmm. The next day we can get there and rest up and shop around, then we can go see the play and we won't be tired. That sounded fine to me, and but I was writing. And I was writing and I was writing and I was writing and I wrote. And the next thing I remember was that he was walking, you know, pacing, and he was saying, Jeanette, please, you know, leave it, you know. And he was just begging me. And I was saying, I got just to do this one more sentence, you know. I got to finish this paragraph. I can't leave it now. Oh, God, it was terrible. And then I looked at the time. It was 12 o'clock Thursday night. We were supposed to have left at 4 or 5, you know. And there was no way that I was going to leave it, even at that time. And I'd been writing straight for about